When you think about the problem itself, the customer cares about the essential outcome. So they are hiring you as a company to solve their challenge. They don't really care how it gets solved as long as they get a great customer experience and they get good value out of what they're signing up for.
Budget overruns, brick devices, data breaches, building connected products is hard. Welcome to Over the Air, sharp, unfiltered conversations with executives about their IoT journeys, the mistakes they made, the lessons they learned, and what they wish they'd known when they started. I'm your host, Ryan Prosser. Welcome back to Over the Air, IoT connected devices and the journey. My name is Ryan Prosser, CEO of Aery, and today we're joined by Rahul Subramani, and we're going to be talking about tech-enabled IoT services. Rahul, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Ryan. Glad to be here.
Okay, so you guys are an earlier stage company. For folks that don't know, give us a little background on your company.
Great. So our company is called Monair. We started operations in early 2022, and we use AI sensors and our vetted service network to optimally run heating, ventilation, and cooling systems, as well as refrigeration systems in small commercial buildings. Our customers typically operate or own restaurants, convenience stores, retail stores, and the likes. And today, they basically run all their critical heating, cooling, and refrigeration systems to failure. So they're only finding out about a walk-in cooler or walk-in freezer that stores meat, for example, breaking down after the thing is already broken down. And at that point, it's too late, and they have to throw out all the food. So things are run fairly unoptimally today. And on top of this, they also waste a lot of money on utilities, because these systems are usually not run optimally. And we are in the business of helping them cut back on all of this waste and also helping them operate these systems so that they don't fail ever again. Our customers, on an average, see their utility bills drop by about 30%. But more importantly, they're able to focus a lot more on their businesses because their critical systems are no longer failing and they don't have to drop everything to go address them.
The small and medium-sized building market feels, I mean, we've had a lot of people on the show that are talking about optimization of energy footprint and so forth, almost all focused on what I would characterize skyscrapers, really big buildings. We don't hear as much about small and medium. When I drive through my town, it's all small and medium. I mean, so this is by footprint, a big part of the market. That's where you guys are focused. This must be a different solution, or else these other folks would be focused on. Like, are you guys having to attack this problem in a very different way? And from a technology perspective, what is that different way?
Yeah, it's a great observation, Ryan. Yes, there are a ton of small commercial buildings out there. In fact, the reality is that about 94% of commercial buildings out there in the US are less than 50,000 square feet. That represents about 5.5 million buildings out there. Now, a vast majority, in fact, there was a recent Department of Energy report that said that about 90% of these commercial buildings, HVAC and refrigeration in these buildings, run using pretty much old school analog technology. And it's not for the lack of trying by large established IoT vendors out there. It's not for the lack of trying that they've not been able to convince these customers to switch over. But I think one of the biggest challenges is that small commercial building owner operators are extremely cost conscious. They don't have a lot of CapEx dollars floating around. Plus, there's this challenge of split incentives between the landlord or the owner and the tenant. So just like if you owned a rental property, you probably are not going to spend a lot of money in renovating the kitchen. Just like that, the owners of the building who typically pay for heating and cooling equipment, they don't want to spend top dollar on putting in great controls technology, etc. And so they buy the cheapest equipment they can get and push all the OPEX to the tenants. And the tenants typically don't have the know-how to really figure out how to run all of this equipment optimally. So again, they are kind of still using whatever old school thermostat that the landlord had installed without really thinking about what to do next. So all of this has meant that these small commercial buildings are underserved. And then the larger controls providers out there who have very much started off with building complex systems to solve problems in large commercial buildings, they've not really been able to figure out a cost-effective way to bring those same technology solutions over to small commercial buildings. Because what works in a large commercial building, it works because those buildings have dedicated facilities managers and layers of other support staff who can manage these complex systems. When you bring them over to a small commercial building, you don't have any of that. It's just the owner or the operator. And so these complex systems no longer work. And that's where usually we see the struggle. So it's a cost plus complexity equation, which does not really work well. And that's what essentially Monaire has tried to tackle with our combination of hardware, software, AI, and services to bring all three together to try to attempt to solve this problem.
So you mentioned hardware, software, services. One of the things that I see this very often out in the world is you've got product companies that don't understand. I'm talking about IoT. Okay, so maybe this is not true, but you've got product companies that make a hardware product and they fundamentally don't seem to really know the actual world that we live in where the installations are taking place, aka services, you know, where the rubber meets the road. And then you have service companies that really, I think, do understand the realities. Of course, maybe I'm biased because I run a services company, but they don't have a product. So everything is a custom solution or they need to go purchase some. And it seems like you guys' approach is blending both, which I don't see as much, but feels like a very promising model. I mean, can you talk about like what that looks like? I know that you maybe have not yet developed your own hardware, but you seem to have a kit that looks a little bit step and repeat. I don't know. Am I characterizing that right? Is that you guys' worldview?
I think solving customer problems often can take different routes. So product companies tend to solve customer problems with a heavier focus on the product side. And services companies, obviously, they do what they're good at, which is they paper over gaps in product, et cetera, using their services. And so they come at the problem from different angles. But when you think about the problem itself, the customer cares about the essential outcome. So they are hiring you as a company to solve their challenge. They don't really care how it gets solved as long as they get a great customer experience and they get good value out of what they're signing up for. And so with product companies, typically what I've seen happen is that when they develop a service layer, they usually develop that to paper over challenges with the product they've created on their own. So maybe they've created a super complex product and they then have to develop their own services layer to enable that product to be installed. Or often what happens is they create a super complicated product because people in the value chain, so let's say the company sells to a distributor who then sells to a GC or a general contractor who gets influenced by an architect. So there are multiple buyers in the equation and all these buyers want different things. To hear them out, the product company creates something that's now become a Frankenstein. And the eventual installer who's actually installing it then has to cater to all these buyers in between, and the installation process becomes a mess. You have now added a ton of cost in the process, et cetera, et cetera. From the other angle on the services side, when services companies, they try to provide the optimal customer experience, often they see that they need to build something that's super custom for their application. And usually that's when things start falling apart because the services company usually does not have the skill set needed to build anything custom, whether it be on the hardware side or on the software side. Developing that skill set after you've been in business in a service company for multiple years is often quite hard, as I'm sure you can attest to some of that, Ryan, yourself. So developing the services layer becomes quite hard. At Monaire, we have tried to take all of this to heart at a very early stage, fully aware that combining hardware, software, and services is going to be hard. We've taken that approach, though, primarily because solving the true customer problem needs a culmination of all three. Like in the case of a small commercial business owner, like a restaurant operator, for instance, this person does not have access to a service layer or a facilities team that they can call upon. And so just selling them a piece of technology that sends them alerts is not really going to work for them. They actually need the technology to take care of the problem completely. And these being large mechanical systems, you still need to send somebody physically over to repair them. So that's why we have chosen to develop both the services side and the technology side together And with our initial approach, we have been fortunate enough to find hardware technology out there, sensor technology, et cetera, on the IoT side that have started commoditizing, specifically, for instance, long-range radio or LoRa-based temperature sensors. You can find a bunch of them out there today. So we've been able to use some of that and work with the suppliers to customize the firmware to cater to our needs. And that's kind of where we are starting off today. But as we continue to build the business, as we continue to service our customers better, we want to identify where we have gaps on the hardware side. And to your earlier point, Ryan, look to make the hardware ourselves.
So this is a curveball. Are there any, so you mentioned LoRaWAN, you mentioned a lot of this is like off-the-shelf commoditized. Are there any hardware products that you guys use that don't closely enough? So everything must somewhat fit your use case or you wouldn't be using it. But are there any that are far enough off and you're like, if we could just find the square peg that went in the square hole, that you could envision Monere developing it and having, look, for this particular use case, it's so hyper-specific, obviously not for 2024, hardware takes years. But like, as you guys look ahead, are there any things that you say, look, I could see us developing something like this because we can't find an exact fit commoditized offering?
Yeah, absolutely. One example, I'll use the refrigeration space. About 95% of refrigeration systems in small commercial buildings are analog systems. They are locally controlled. There's nothing connecting them to the cloud. Today, connecting an existing piece of refrigeration equipment to the cloud would cost about $5,000, give or take. Now, that's CapEx dollars that most of this segment does not have to spend. What we envision here is maybe building a piece of hardware that is able to take an existing analog system and connect it to the cloud for less than $500 installed. Now, that's a budget that these people have or these customers have to spend. And that's what we envision making. And we actually have some ideas around this that we are exploring at the moment. We're building some prototypes to test out this concept. But that would be something that we would want to uniquely make to add a digitization layer on an existing analog equipment that would allow us to then connect it to the cloud, which would then allow our software layers to do the magic in the cloud and deliver the overall ultimate value to our customers.
And I think you guys' model is great. I love it. You mentioned earlier the three pieces, software, hardware, and services. Software is famously the most scalable thing on the face of the earth. Okay, you've got a product and you get a use case, stamp it out, boom. Hardware, a little bit harder, but you know, if you nail it, you could be in good shape there, particularly commoditized stuff with, you know, where it's like millions or tens of millions. So they've really ground out the big failure recall type risks. And then there's services. I mean, yeah, you're talking to a guy that knows a thing or two about how difficult it is to scale out services. This is core to what you guys are doing. I like your approach. For folks at home that don't know the approach, you know, how you guys are looking at, talk about scalability, period. But like what I'm really interested in is the scalability of the services part.
Yeah, I think you're right to think about software as being the simplest one to scale amongst the three. Hardware, usually the scaling part involves figuring out how you localize the products if needed. LoRa, for instance, is different frequencies in different markets. So you have to figure out how to localize that. And then you have to obviously figure out the supply chain as well. But once you do that, scaling hardware is easy too. The services side, with a company like Monere, where we are being extremely customer obsessed, where we want to deliver the best customer experience possible, all the customer really sees is actually the service side of our business. Everything else is abstracted behind that. But when they think about Monere, they're thinking about the service we are delivering. And so to be able to deliver that at a very high bar, very high service quality level, right now we're choosing to grow geography by geography, because that's how we think we are able to then build a service network, test that out, make sure it's high quality before we move on to the next geography and rinse and repeat that again. And so we're in the process of building that playbook that allows us to take this concept from market A to market B, even though we're already realizing that when you go to market B, you might encounter new curveballs. But that's kind of how we are thinking about growing. And there are some parallels in the industry that we are deriving inspiration from. For instance, a company that everybody understands is Uber. And in the early days, Uber grew market by market. I mean, they still grow market by market. They launched initially in San Francisco, then they eventually expanded into other markets in the US. And they had to do that because they had to recruit drivers in each market. In a similar way, we have to recruit mechanical contractors, licensed technicians onto our platform to be able to deliver the service layers properly. Right? So that's kind of how we are thinking about growth, which is like we want to be extremely customer obsessed. We want to deliver quality service, hold a high bar. And to be able to do that well, we have to carefully grow geography by geography. Now, that does mean that we'll be growing a lot slower than just releasing an app into the App Store and seeing that grow like wildfire. So yes, we will be growing a lot slower, but we still believe this is the right way to solve the problem for the customer. And hence, we are ready to sacrifice speed for being able to, again, deliver the value proposition to the customer.
I mean, in services, anybody that grows fast scares me, because just from a standardization point of view, software, boom, like you said, ship it out. Everybody's got it the next day on their iPhone if they want to have it. Hardware, there are, yeah, more environmental challenges, but still very doable. Man, and then there's services where we got whatever it is, 7 billion different people out there interpreting. I mean, you can even provide them with the same instructions and they just interpret it differently. When I see service companies grow quickly, I see opportunities to short sell and make money, because you can't do it and you have to do it slowly or accept that you're not going to do it well. And by the way, it seems like you see this with fast food franchises too, which who are also in the service industry. They're taking a concept that's special in some way and then they scale it out, and the workers invariably, if they scale too fast, just cannot match the original magic. So what's next for you guys? As you look ahead, we're recording this here, 1st of February, 2024. Folks will probably be hearing this month later. But give us a look ahead to end of year 24 and beyond. What are you guys looking at? What are you excited about?
Well, obviously, we want to continue to scale our services into new markets. But what we're more excited about, some of the new cool products that we're working on. So one thing we are realizing as we deploy our technology into hundreds of small commercial buildings is our ability to connect all of these HVAC and refrigeration loads to the utility grid. Now, imagine if we are able to do that over hundreds of thousands of buildings, all densely situated in various markets. For instance, today we have about 2.5 megawatts of load under management in just the city of Madison. Being able to offer that kind of flexible load to a utility is going to really unlock major savings for our customers, because they would then be able to get rebates from the utilities. But it also really helps the utilities because they can then do their planning process better. And when they see a supply demand challenge, especially happens when they continue to add more and more renewables to their grid, when they see a supply demand challenge, they can easily tap into our variable loads to take advantage of that, which ultimately means that they have to burn less gas-powered power stations to make up for the supply gap, and they can rely more on just renewables, which ultimately then means we lower carbon emissions from our utilities. Right? So that's a win-win for both our customers and for the planet. And so we are really interested in building that next layer to allow our customers' digitized equipment to be connected all the way directly to the utility to take advantage of flexible load programs, time of the day rates, et cetera, programs like that that utilities offer.
Last question. You guys are an up-and-coming company. People are excited about what Monair is up to. I often ask people who out there in IoT land they're big fans of. I'm going to flip the script for you. What are some companies that you are a fan of that you're looking to emulate or have your business look something like, but in our space, in IoT, in technology? Are there companies that you look at and say, boy, we'd like to look something like that?
Yeah, I think one of the companies that I personally respect or have a lot of respect for is called Samsara. I'm sure most people here listening to this podcast would be familiar with them. But for the others, Samsara, they offer a combination of IoT products, software, and services to help companies all across the spectrum to digitize their operations. They started off in sort of the logistics space, and since growing and scaling, have expanded into a bunch of other markets as well. They grew from zero to about $1 billion in ARR. They actually hit $1 billion late 2023. They did that in about 6 to 7 years. I think that's unheard of in the IoT space. You hear companies like Salesforce and Facebook and others do that more on the software side. But in the IoT space, I've never heard of any other company being able to do that. And Samsara, I think, is the first. So massive respect for how they've grown, how they've remained extremely customer focused, and how they're able to continue to build new products and services to attract new customers and keep expanding the size of their pie and keep adding new customers. So yeah, if we're lucky enough at Monere, I'd love to be able to replicate that kind of growth and that kind of value that Samsara is able to deliver to their customers.
That's a huge, ambitious goal. I love it. Raul, that's all the time we got for today. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Ryan. Really appreciate it.
And thank you for listening. Join us next time as we meet with another executive and talk about things that went wrong on a journey that went right.
Over the Air is presented by Veri, your trusted source for cutting-edge technology solutions. For the latest updates and exclusive content, be sure to follow Over the Air on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere else great podcasts are found. On behalf of the team here at Veri, thanks for listening.